It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 673. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. It's Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial, or you could just go directly to instanthousecall.com. Have a jam-packed show lined up, a client story involving lost data that I have to discuss. That's going to take probably a third of the show. Then I have a couple links. I do want to get to ergonomic desks and a couple sites, and then a little stack of email on various topics and stuff we've been covering the last few weeks. Before we begin, last Thursday, the reason I moved the show, I'm recording this on Tuesday, November 20th, a couple days before Thanksgiving. Last Thursday, we had a snowstorm that nobody was prepared for because they didn't prep any of the streets. And there were multiple client emergencies, which I'm going to cover on the next show next week. I'm holding all that, and that's why I couldn't record on Thursday. And then I was traveling for my birthday over the weekend. I had tickets for my wife to see Josh Groban that I purchased for her way back in New York City, Madison Square Garden. Had a great time and had a nice, relaxing, enjoyable weekend in New York. Back yesterday, right back to the grind, helping clients. And the stories are mounting. Let's begin with a client. And let me describe the office. We inherited this client maybe 6 months ago, and because they got rid of their tech support, I don't think they were responding well enough. And I knew someone who knew the owner of this business. So they reached out, got them on a retainer contract, back up to the cloud from their server. And they have a real server with Active Directory. We've upgraded some systems to Windows 10. The owner has offline folders. He started with Windows 7. He has offline folders that are synced to the server. So when he comes in with his laptop and gets on the network, the sync begins for his map drives. We're talking 600 gig of data syncing. When we begin the contract and we talk about online backups, 400 gig of his data are photos. And one of the things that we were discussing was what it would cost to get everything backed up to the cloud for the server. Now, there's 100 gig of data just shared by other employees that are very important, client data, etc. We make the decision, I say we, make the decision that they do not want his data backed up to the cloud because it's already backed up on the server. It's syncing to the server. You can see where we're going here. The first thing we do, and this actually is what saved us, he has a mechanical 1 terabyte drive. We recommend that we put a terabyte SSD, that we clone his drive to an SSD, put it in the laptop, and he's going to be a lot better. He loved that. We put a Samsung 1 terabyte SSD 6 months ago in that laptop. It's beautiful. We mark the mechanical drive, have them put that away. Life is good. Now, let's fast forward 6 months later. He wants a brand new laptop because that laptop was a few years old. And he wants lean, mean, fast, small. He gets a nice Dell Latitude with a terabyte SSD, matter of fact, an M2 SSD, where we get all the data resynced back to his new laptop. He has a docking station now, multiple monitors. It's beautiful. A couple weeks later, he contacts me and says, Mike, my data is all gone on the laptop. I was like, how can that be? I can't find the data. It's not on the server. Remember, we excluded his data to be backed up to the cloud, and it's not on his laptop. I said, describe the last week of what's been happening with you and your system. And this is the lesson. This is the story. He, at home, deleted and purged on the old laptop all of his data because he wanted to hand that off to someone else, didn't want his data on it. And instead of calling me, he did the purging of the data, but he brought it in and under his profile logged in on the network. So what did his laptop do? It synced with the server and deleted all the files. Then the server synced to the new laptop and deleted all of the files. We now do not have any files. I went through undelete and the recycle bin and got a lot of files, but I don't know why I did not get all of them. There were a couple files. I wouldn't say life and death, but extremely important that he had to get. One of them was more of a template. So it didn't matter how far back we go, as long as we can get it. The mechanical drive. I take the old laptop and the old mechanical drive. You cannot access offline files by plugging an external drive in to an adapter and USB. You must boot within the profile to be able to access those files. Now, I researched, and there is a complicated way to get that storage file for the location of the offline folders. I think it's the CCS directory within Windows. Much more complicated. It was easier to just pop that mechanical drive in, not be on site, boot up, and then I got another terabyte drive, attached it, another little laptop mechanical drive, and used SyncBack to just copy the 600 gigs of files to a terabyte drive. Took the terabyte drive up to his office and copied the files he needed. They were only 6 months old, but that was okay. He had no problem with that, just the fact that there was files. He seems happy at this moment. I thought we were going to lose a client, even though technically we were not at fault. We were. This is the moral of the story and the lesson. This is the owner of the business. Regardless of what he said, regardless of what was agreed to, I should have, and I do now, have at least an external drive plugged to the server and doing a simple backup within the server software and at least doing a local backup. We're now doing everything but the photos. He has multiple backups of the photos. We had a hard discussion on this. He doesn't want the 400 gig going up, but we increased to get another 200 gig of files that are now up, and we now have 300 gig in the cloud. But I'm still getting everything to a local drive. And the lesson is, regardless of what your client agrees to, you have to protect them from themselves, and I didn't do that. This is where I fell short in demanding that these files be backed up, because look what happened. A perfect storm. I would have, in a million years, never even thought of such a scenario that could possibly delete all the files like that across two laptops and the server. Just would never have thought of that as a possibility. So because of that, I will demand or put in place, not to any great expense on my part, but I will be more forceful. Clients that don't want to spend a lot of money, I tend to go with them because I don't want to lose the client. That's not going to happen anymore. I'm going to tell them this is what has to happen. And I don't care what it's going to cost. I said, we have to protect your data. This is what has to happen. If you want online storage, this is what's being backed up because this is your data. And I have this story to share with other clients or other potential clients. And these stories begin to mount up. We have to protect our clients from themselves. And I didn't do that. So I put myself as much to blame as my client. Right now, it seems like a happy ending. He's happy, and that's all that counts. And I now have better backups in place. So this way, if there's another accident like that, we're going to be able to recover. Even if the building blows up, we have everything that we need online. I double checked and made sure he has actually two external drives with those 400 gig photos. Because to him, the most important thing was all these photos. And that 400 gig, he had already backed up himself to a hard drive, but I made sure that they are on there. So we have multiple places with all those photos. I'm now backing them up to a local hard drive from the server. And it's not overwritten. It's not a backup where that if he deletes stuff, well, it's not going to sync to that backup. I'm still going to have those files that he deleted. And that's something that you have to consider. What is the retention policy of the backups? Could your client delete something important that you don't have enough backups to cover if something's deleted? Like, let's say you back up every night a differential for, let's say, 2 weeks, and it's now beyond 2 weeks that something's been deleted and you got to recover. So you got to have a backup retention policy that also makes sense. Maybe every month there's it goes off site. You have to think of all the possible scenarios that you can't even imagine that the client could inflict upon themselves or someone could inflict upon them, and you got to be able to recover the data. First time that something like this has ever happened under my watch, a valuable lesson, and I needed to share that. This same client was one of three clients over the last few weeks that have asked me to recommend on height adjustable standing desks. Now, the big one, the link that I'm going to have is Veridesk. And you see all those commercials all over the place where it's that one piece, it's already assembled, and it just rises and goes down. You got to make sure that you have the right cable management to be able to handle the raising and lowering of the desk. I have another site that I want to recommend. It is Eureka. This will give you a lot of different options on different styles of standing desks. This is eurekaergonomic.com. Excellent resource. Maybe you don't buy from there, but can certainly give you and your client ideas, which is what you want. My client ended up picking the desk from another place, but it is awesome. And he wants to stand all the time. It's not important to be quickly upper and lower. Some clients, the Veridesk is perfect because it's so easy to raise and lower. They have certain back issues and they need to, after a while of standing, they sit down. And a lot of people now, for your posture, for just to be ergonomic, want to stand. I am not a standing person. To me, it's all about a comfortable chair. And I have an incredibly expensive and comfortable chair that I sit at right now because I spend a ton of time in this seat, whether it's doing the shows, doing remote access, working on systems remote, I live in this chair. So that's important, but it's also probably killing my back where I should probably stand up. Consider having options for when your client asks, or maybe in your office or your business or this personal. These are two sites that'll be in the show notes that you should go through, take a look at, and be ready to recommend the ergonomic desks. If you have others, which I'm sure you do, hit me up with them. And in a couple of weeks, I'll mention them. And send me ergonomic furniture sites that you have purchased from or your clients that you've helped them out with. Let's get to some email. And this is from Jeremy. QuickBooks and Desktop Icons follow-up. I recently listened to shows 669 and 670. In them, you mentioned an issue with QuickBooks and having to restart the QB data manager services. I have ran into that as well, but on some instances, it still does not work. Many of the clients that I do work for also host DNS on the same server as their QB database, which seems to cause a conflict. Yes, it does. I also restart the DNS QB first, then DNS second, and it has worked every time. There used to be an article on Intuit about editing an INI file, but to be honest, it never worked for me. Here is a mention to it on Reddit, and that's one link. There is another post by another guy who mentioned altering the DNS ports with NetSH. Looks promising, but I've yet to have to use it. And lastly, in one of the other episodes, you mentioned saving the client's icon locations. I have been using a program called ReiCon, which has done wonders for those with very specific workflows on their desktop. I think that may be the same product that you use. I will have a link to this program, ReiCon. Jeremy, I have a client that has Windows Server 2012 standard with the QB Data Manager software running. When we have a problem and I can't restart that service, I actually have to stop the DNS server service. Then I start the QuickBooks services that wouldn't start. Then I go back and start the DNS server service. It's manual, but you know, we could write a batch file that would be a lot easier that I would even trust my client to be able to execute on the server. And I think that's a great idea. I'm thinking of just doing net stop the DNS service, start or restart the other services for QuickBooks, and then in the next line, start back up the DNS service. Little batch file could take care of that, but it's not automatic. Is it possible to put in the service that stops? Could you put the batch file in on what to execute when the service stops? So we might be overthinking this and we can handle it with what to do when the service stops, which is just stop the other service of DNS, then go back in. So you could have it maybe execute that little batch file, and that's how you could automate this. So once that service stops, boom, it'll do everything. I'd have to test that and work with it. But right now, I haven't had to automate that. And it's very interesting that I haven't had to do that in probably a couple months, which I'm really happy to report back. Now, the client that I use the one fixes for alternately restarting the service if it fails, that has worked flawlessly, and I've had very few calls. But I will share a new QuickBooks issue. So the accountant for one of my clients remotes in to a workstation to do the QuickBooks work because they don't have QuickBooks online. They don't want to use that. They want the desktop version. Anytime he exits, and he exits cleanly and he closes QuickBooks, the QuickBooks executable is still running in processes and tying up a user. As a matter of fact, it was tying up two users for him. And this is a client that has a three-user license and they couldn't get in because the licenses were taken up. And for a couple of minutes, it was driving me crazy. And then I logged into that workstation remotely and I seen there were three instances of QuickBooks still running, yet QuickBooks wasn't running. So that's another problem with QuickBooks. It doesn't close properly, and you got to remember to kill the processes if it doesn't close cleanly. It's amazing how many times we talk about issues with QuickBooks. So wanted to share that. And Jeremy, thank you for that email. This is from Carl, and it's about the Evernote switch. I've been an Evernote fan for about 5 years now, after I first heard about it on your show. Now that we are discussing alternatives, I've decided to take the plunge and test the NoteStation software in my Synology device. I think I also learned this about this from your show, too. I did talk about it, but I don't use that note feature. I actually turned it on for a client, but never followed up on how they like it. Of course, listeners would need to have the Synology hardware in order to take advantage of this software. But if they have the hardware already or have been considering it, this may tip the scales. I had personally taken a look at NoteStation a few years ago, but decided against it primarily because it does not allow for encryption of text within a note, something I have grown to love about Evernote over the years. Upon recent review, I found that NoteStation has the ability to encrypt entire notes, which fits the bill for me just fine. I'm not sure if it was an oversight on my part previously or a recent add-on addition to the software. Something I've recently discovered about NoteStation that I think I really like is that you can attach files to notes such as PDFs, docs, etc. Evernote embeds these files directly into the note, which has its pluses and minuses. I like it as an attachment to the note to cut down on bandwidth on my phone unless it is actually needed. It does not appear that the text within these attachments is searchable. I know this was one of your wish list items for a new service. Yes, it is. Images can be embedded within a note in NoteStation, just like in Evernote, which is very useful. Again, I do not believe text within images is searchable in NoteStation. That's not a deal breaker for me, but it is nice. He continues, one thing that has frustrated me about Evernote over the years is that they keep adding new features that I don't care about and changing things. When they do, it seems that it is forced on you, and it makes things more difficult for me to use. Now, when I want to edit some text in a note on my phone in Evernote, I need to press and hold where I want to edit. If I just tap in a note like I used to, it automatically drops you to the end of the note. Very frustrating. In NoteStation, editing within a note is straightforward as it used to be in Evernote. I also love that the data is completely under my own control with NoteStation. It is on my physical hardware and not off on the cloud in Never Neverland. All in all, after weighing the pros and cons within NoteStation, I think I am going to switch over. One more check mark for me on the Synology love list. Thanks for all you do, Mike. This is Carl from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Carl, great email. Thank you. Never even dawned on me to use NoteStation within the Synology, and it's free if you own the Synology. I have to check that out. This is from John, and this is about the program Synergy. Great show. I am a longtime listener. I learn something new every time I listen to the show. I would like to recommend Synergy software to your listeners. The software allows you to share one mouse and keyboard between multiple computers using your network. I have been using Synergy for several years. I am also able to use one keyboard and mouse on my PC to control my PC, a MacBook Air, and two or three Raspberry Pi running Linux. You could also copy and paste from one computer to another. The tech support is great. I even traded emails with the owner of the company. Below is the link. Regards, John. John, that is awesome. Thank you. Thank you. This is from Dallas. Quick question. I have heard you mention a few times on your podcast an app or perhaps several apps that you use when you are visiting a new client and take inventory of their network devices and workstations to create an IT roadmap, so to speak. I just started a new job at a small company working as their sole IT technician and wanted to take an inventory of all their network devices and workstations so I can create a detailed Visio diagram, including IP addresses and descriptions of everything. Could you give me a brief explanation of what you do and the tools you use to do it? I tried browsing through the show notes on the podcast, but couldn't find what I was looking for. Thanks so much. Love the show, Dallas. Dallas, two main programs. One is Newt, N-E-W-T Professional. Very inexpensive. And I use that to do a network scan of any network that I'm going to begin to do an assessment or work with. It's where I begin. It pulls a lot of information. If you're lucky enough that there's a server and Active Directory, if you have the admin credentials, you can get an incredible amount of information. If they have a peer-to-peer network and they have the same admin account and password across all the systems, then you can get incredible detailed information. That's one. Two, even with that, I run an SIW. I'll have a link to that in the show notes. SIW, I do a scan on every single system, and it generates an HTML report on everything about that computer. Now, there's a lot of other free programs out there. I happen to like SIW. That's the best thing that I can recommend for starting out. We can go a lot further on things that I do, but I just wanted to briefly cover the two main tools that I use for any account that I'm visiting for the first time. Final email, and then I have something to talk about for a couple minutes. This is from Chris. Hi, Mike, longtime listener. Recently, we took over a small community center. There's about 8 users. They have a small NAS, but it was not hooked up. It's an older Buffalo NAS. It seems to work fine, but only support SMB1. I know you have mentioned this in the past on your show. Microsoft recommended leaving that disabled because it's an older protocol and it can be taken over by viruses. The organization is not for profit and doesn't have a lot of money to work with. I know you really like Synology NAS. Do you think it's okay to use the NAS with SMB1? Or should I get a different NAS or build a box like FreeNAS? If you have the resources and can go to a NAS that supports something better than SMB1, absolutely. That's the safest route. But if you have a good firewall in place, you have protection like Malwarebytes and the Windows Defender running on every system, if you've locked down the perimeter and you're protecting your computers and they're up to date with the protections and you're maintaining that, I have clients that have to have SMB1. We have no choice because it's an older scanner copier that they own and they don't have the funds to upgrade it. So there are clients that I absolutely have no choice. So I make sure I'm protecting their entire network and all of their workstations, doing the best we can so I can enable SMB1. And I have done that. Given that additional information, you can make your choice. I can't tell you what to do or not do. Armed with that, go forth and pick and make your decision. I want to mention a convention that I will be attending September 20th through the 22nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And this is in 2019. It is called TechCon Unplugged. It is being run by Jeff Hallisch, Paco, John Drabinski. I'm going to be part of it. I will definitely be doing something to either present, moderate. I know we're going to have a podcaster meetup over one of the nights there. It is something that when I was asked about participating in this, Jeff had me at hello. You can get tickets at techconunplugged.com. Register. I will have more details as they become available. I hope to see you there. We don't have the agenda yet. They're working on some sponsors. It's going to be inexpensive. and the content's going to be great. And the content's coming from the podcasters. That's what you want. Taz already in the chat said he's got his ticks already. All right, man. I will be seeing you there. And I hope to see a lot of you there. Please, please, to support Carrie Holzman and myself, abuse and use the Amazon link in the show notes. It'll take you to Amazon, and anything you purchase during that session, we will get a small commission and your price stays the same. And with the holidays coming up, you are going to be buying from Amazon. You're going to be taking advantage of all the Prime deals and all the different products. Even if it's a gift card, we will get credit, and then use that gift card and use the link so we can get a double credit. That helps support Carrie Holzman and myself, and we really appreciate your continued use of that. Thank you very, very much. Also, want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor, instanthousecall.com, Fabs Auto Backup Pro 7. Love it. Use it all the time. And there's nothing better than the Fabs software for copying your data and settings for all your browsers and different programs and transferring that from one system to another, one operating system to another. That's it. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving in the U.S. And I will see you back here next Thursday, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.